You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey friends, Pastor B here. I want to tell you that you have been lied to. Maybe not explicitly, you know, maybe not from the pulpit, but there's a lie floating around out there in the cultural ethos of modern Christianity that's quietly killing your faith, or at least it's confusing the heck out of you. It's the lie of the instant transformation. We all love the stories of the guy who walks into a tent revival, prays a prayer, and then instantly loses his taste for bourbon and gambling. We celebrate these kinds of, well, let's call them Damascus Road moments. That was pretty much what happened to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. But we love those kinds of moments where someone's entire personality just flips overnight. And look, God can do that. Right? He's a big God. He did it in the Bible sometimes. You probably know some stories of some guys where that's happened for them. But for 99% of us, that's just simply not the reality. Instead, this might be your story. You've been a Christian for 5 years or 10 or 20, and you're still losing your temper in traffic. I feel ya. You're still struggling with that same secret habit. You still find yourself being judgmental or anxious or greedy or, you know, fill in the blank. And because you aren't, you know, quote unquote, fixed yet, you start to wonder, did it even take? Am I really a Christian? Is the Holy Spirit actually in me? Or am I just like fooling myself and everybody else? Well, today we're tearing down this magic wand theology, you know, like this idea that God has this magic wand and you become a Christian and he waves it over you and then everything's just perfect. We're going to talk instead about the reality that we find all over the Bible that is connected to the word sanctification. And maybe you've heard this particular kind of sanctification, progressive sanctification. We're going to explain what that means and what the other two types of sanctification are. But progressive sanctification is the slow burn of the Christian life. It's messy, it's frustrating, and it's honestly the most intellectually honest way to understand why you're a saint who still sometimes acts like a sinner. If you've ever felt like a work in progress that isn't quite making enough progress, then this episode is for you. We're going to talk about the mechanics of how God actually changes a human being after they put their faith in Jesus. Now, the Greek word for sanctification, in case you're taking notes out there, is the word hagiasmos. I have no idea if I'm saying that right, but I do know what it means. It literally means to set apart or to make holy. That's that sanctification. Sanct means like santo, holy. And so that's what it means. But in the New Testament, this isn't a one and done event. Theologically, we categorize sanctification, that fancy word, into three buckets. The first one is positional sanctification. This is your legal status. The moment you trust Jesus for salvation, God looks at you and he sees the perfection of Jesus. You are holy, sanctified in his eyes. Period. End of story. That's your position in heaven. You are already sanctified. He looks at you, he looks at me once we put our faith in Jesus, and the righteousness of Jesus, which is perfect, by the way, Jesus is 100% sanctified, holy. He looks at us and he credits that holiness, that righteousness to our account. That's positional sanctification. But there's a second kind of sanctification, and it's called progressive. Okay, so this is your actual life down here on earth, not in heaven, not how God sees you in heaven. It's not positional. It's practical right now, and it's progressive because you're not fully sanctified just yet. It's a process where your character starts to catch up with your status, right? So your new identity is in Christ. You are a child of God, but it's like your emotions didn't get the memo, right? Like you're still broken. You still have a battle with your old nature down here on earth. And so it requires progressive sanctification. Like day by day, hopefully day by day, you're growing more and more holy here on earth. Now, there's a third stage of sanctification, and it goes by a couple different names, but we'll call it ultimate sanctification or Another word for that is just simply glorification. That's the finish line. That's when we die or when Christ returns and the struggle with sin is finally ended here on earth. We're glorified. We're ultimately sanctified. It's like our progressive sanctification finally catches up with our positional sanctification, and we're going to be with Jesus forever, and there's going to be no sin. But the tension, right, the war zone, is in that middle bucket. It's in that progressive sanctification phase. Think about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Everything in there was sanctified, right? The golden lampstand, the table of showbread, even the shovels used for the ashes. They weren't holy because they were made of magic gold. They were holy because they were literally set apart for God's specific use. You would use those things in the tabernacle and you wouldn't use them anywhere else. Now, for me and for you, when we became Christians, we were set apart for God's use, right? We were made holy, set apart for his use. But here's the problem. Unlike the gold shovel, you and I have a will. Unlike that table of showbread, we have habits. Unlike the shovels in the tabernacle used for the ashes, we have a flesh that still wants to go back to the common dirt. Okay, so that's the problem with human beings. When something non-human was sanctified, it pretty much remained sanctified. But when people with a will and emotions and a mind, when we are sanctified, well, it's going to be a process for us because we still have free choice. We still have the ability to go back to our old ways. And we do. I mean, just admit it. We do. Let's look at the cultural context of the early church. They were coming out of paganism, you know, environments where holiness meant performing a ritual to keep a fickle God from hitting you with a lightning bolt. That's what it would have meant to non-Jewish people, essentially, right? If you did the ritual, you were good. But then Paul comes along and he flips the script. He says in Romans 6:19, because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using an illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become, wait for it, here's the word, holy. Now look at that verse. There's a trajectory there. He says that you're ever deeper in sin, and then he contrasts that with becoming holy. It's more of a direction than a destination. Again, we're going to reach the destination ultimately when we're glorified, when Jesus comes back. But for now, it's more like a long obedience in the same direction, as Eugene Peterson put it. So that means that that tug of war in our soul, right? That struggle that we feel when we're sort of pulled back into the habits of the old person, it's not a sign that we aren't Christians. It's actually, well, I think it's evidence that we are Christians. And that's because we care now. Like our consciences are awakened. What we didn't used to recognize before as sin, now we recognize it as sin and we want to fight against it. We want to walk according to the Spirit instead of walking according to the flesh, to use the language of Galatians chapter 5. Let's dive into a specific passage that kind of serves as the engine room for this whole concept. Open your Bible, if you have one, to Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Here's what it says there. Paul writes this. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. And then he says this, verse 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I'm going to read that verse again. It's really important in the context of this topic. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. There's a lot to unpack there. So first, it says, work out your salvation. Paul doesn't say work for your salvation. You can't, right? We're saved by grace through faith. You don't work for a gift. We've been given a gift from Jesus. The moment we placed our faith in him, you don't have to work for your salvation, but you do have to, in a sense, work out what has been worked into you already. So think of it like a massive gold mine. If someone hands you the deed to a mountain that's packed with gold, you're officially, legally, positionally rich, right? You own the gold, but you aren't experientially rich until you get a pickaxe, go into the dark, sweaty tunnels, and start hauling that gold out. You've got to work out the gold. I don't even know if that's a great metaphor, but that's what came to mind. Progressive sanctification is the mining of the salvation that God already gave you. You're extracting the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, etc., right? You're extracting the purity of Jesus, the love of Jesus out of your heart. You're trying to get it into your hands, right? It's already in there. It's this inside out transformation. It's not this outside in transformation. God changes you from the inside, but it takes a while for it to work its way out. So that's the work out your salvation part of that verse. But then it says, with fear and trembling. And this isn't, I don't think this is talking about being scared of God. I think it's really talking about awe and intensity. It's the feeling that a surgeon has when they're performing a delicate operation. They're not trembling because they think the patient's going to kill them. They're trembling because they realize the weight and importance of what they're doing. And this is your soul now that we're talking about. It's not a hobby. It's something that we're trying to carefully, intentionally operate on with fear and trembling. But go back to the verse. It says, for God is working in you. That's the secret, right? I mean, look at the two things that God provides. It says it right there in the verse. He gives you the desire to do what pleases him, but he also gives you the power to do what pleases him. We need both of those things, and both of those things are from God. He gives us the desire from the inside out to want to please him now that we're Christians, but he also gives us the power to pull it off. So here's a good way to think about progressive sanctification. Think of it as like a partnership, but it's interesting math here. It's 100% God and then, you know, a certain percentage of you. I guess you could say 100% you, except you can't give 100% because you still have that old nature tugging at you. You're not perfect yet. You're still working it out, but it is a partnership. Your salvation is not a partnership. We're saved by grace through faith, 100% God, 0% us. But sanctification, well, that is something that we play a part in, right? But it's not all our own willpower. It's not all our own work. God's the one who gives us the desire. God's the one who gives us the power, but we have to participate. But for me, what I take away from this verse is that God doesn't give us a rule book and say, good luck, kid. He actually moves into the house. He starts changing our wants, right, from the inside out. He starts giving us a distaste for the things that used to be really delicious to us, right? And then he gives us the supernatural ability to make the change. And so there's a warning with this. If you're trying to grow in holiness by sheer willpower alone, right, you know, by white knuckling your way through temptation, then you're going to burn out because willpower is a finite resource. It's like a battery. It runs down. But the Holy Spirit is like, to use the metaphor, the Holy Spirit is like a power plant, and he's going to continue to charge you up and give you the power to make good on your intentions. Okay. So you participate, but that, you know, Paul calls it walking by the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. And so you still have to walk. You still have to take those steps. Now, the skeptic out there might say something like this. Okay, well, this is just a super convenient excuse for failure, right? You can call it progressive, but I'm going to call it lazy. The skeptic would say, if the Holy Spirit is so powerful, then why are Christians still such jerks? Why does the process take, 80 years? Why doesn't God just fix the desire for sin the moment we're saved? And I think that's a fair question. I think it's a raw question. But here's, I think, a good way to understand the answer to the question. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it's really what the Bible teaches. God is more interested in the relationship formed during the process than he is in the result of your perfection. I mean, the result is going to come about, right? We're going to be sanctified. It's going to happen. But in the meantime, he wants to develop a relationship with us through the struggle for sanctification. You know, if God made you perfect the second you said, I believe in Jesus, then you could probably get the idea that you don't need him anymore. You know, you'd be like a self-contained good person. You'd become the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, if you remember that story, self-righteous and arrogant and disconnected from the Father's heart. But the slowness of sanctification keeps us desperate, right? It keeps us on our knees. It forces us to realize that every single day we need a Savior just as much as we did on day number one. We need Jesus for our sanctification just as much as we need Jesus for our salvation. Think of it like physical therapy. You know, imagine a guy out there, he gets in a motorcycle accident. The surgeon fixes him up, right? He positionally fixes his leg up, puts it all back together so it's technically whole, but the guy still can't walk, right? Because he has to go to PT 3 times a week. Which is agonizing, right? It's painful. It's a lot of hard work. You're barely moving at all. So even though your leg is put together right, it's positionally whole, it's not practically whole. It's going to be a progressive process before you can finally, you know, really walk like normal again. And that's kind of like how it works with our sanctification. So, you know, a skeptic could have looked through the window and said, what a joke, that surgeon didn't do anything. Look at that guy, he can't even stand up. But he doesn't understand that there's a process involved here. Your spiritual life is like physical therapy. It's messy, you're going to fall, you're going to have days where you feel like you've regressed to your pre-Christian self. But you need to remember that the surgeon, if you truly put your faith in Jesus, right, which requires responding to the right information about your sin and who Jesus is, responding to that with the right attitude, the attitude of repentance. If you really did that, then the surgeon has already made you whole, but you've got to learn how to walk on those new legs that he's given you. So bottom line, stop comparing your insides to everyone else's outsides, right? If you're in Christ, you are already holy. You are a saint. That's positional. But today, you're called to work out that holiness. That's progressive. Don't look for a quantum leap. Just look for a nudge. Are you 1% more patient than you were last year? Great. Are you 1% more aware of your need for God? Perfect. Do you repent faster than you used to? I hope so. This is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. This is the slow burn.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.